It is so amazing to be in the space of holiness. In this morning, I'm not sure about you. I am so in the spirit of worship. I'm here to worship God because God loves me. I'm here to worship God because I experience the love of God. I came to worship God in here. How about you? Yes. If you are here to worship God, say amen.
Amen.
Our God is so awesome. During this Lenten season, we are wrestling with the topic where the first sermon of Jesus offered to us, like to you and me, the disciples of Jesus Christ, you and me like the people of God, you and me like the people who've been loved by God. And it is about the character building business that God is trying to get us into. First character we talked about is the poor in spirit. There are so many lessons out there. God provided so many lessons for us. Even today, I do not remember all the lessons. That's why I'm holding Bible all the time. So I have to have a cheat note. Make sure that I have answered in here. But is it what a good that could be if we have a wrong attitude? That's why Jesus gave us the first sermon about the attitude. Be attitude. The character building. One by one. During this Lenten for 40 days, we are diving into this Lenten season. Why we are doing Lenten season with the attitude building, character building? Because we needed to be more like a disciple of Jesus Christ. More like Jesus. To reveal the God's characteristic through our life. So if you are here, if you have a Bible, please open up the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, whole passage, we are not going to read it because we already read, right? And then I hope that you remember what you read. But as today, we're going to focus on one verse at a time to make sure that we are building our Christian characteristic one by one, like a building the block. Last week, verse 3, that we talked about, poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, that we talked about the humbleness. Unless we are humble and know who we are, we cannot accept Jesus Christ to have a kingdom of heaven within us. According to the Gospel of Luke, we said that the kingdom of heaven is not a heavenly place out there up in the sky. Heavenly kingdom is not about the place all the dead people are going. It is the kingdom of God living within ourselves. According to the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom of heaven is within us. If we do believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, who came to earth to save us from all the devil or all the disasters in life. God came to us from the rescue us from the disastrous life we are getting into. That's why we are humbly coming to the kingdom of heaven and accepting Jesus Christ. Kingdom of heaven is within us. And also we define that this kingdom of heaven is not about eating and drinking. According to the Romans, it is about what? Righteousness and peace and joy. It is not about eating, drinking, or having a bigger house and a better car and a better equipment, whatever we would like to have. It is not about that. It is about the righteousness, peace and justice and joy. That's why social justice is important. In our Methodist Church, social gospel is our top priority. One of our priorities is to bring the gospel to the social community, our surrounding community. Some people say that the church needed to be separate from the government. Yes, by law, yes, the United States, yes. But you and I are the citizens of this country. How can we be silent about what's going on in our country? Now I'm coming back to the today's topic, verse 4. We're going to be reading together. We needed to pound in our chest and then cry out for our nation, cry out for ourselves, cry out for the justice in our there, in our community. We're going to digest this message a little bit more by reading the verse 4 of chapter 5. Let's read it together. It's a short verse, but we needed to put it in our mind. Ready? Set, go. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How many of you love to hang around with a crying baby? Raise your hand. If I'm not a saint, probably I say that no. I cannot pretend. I would like to have happy babies around me instead of crying babies. Sometimes I volunteer in the nursery room to hold the babies. As soon as they start to cry, I give a nursery person, where's the mom? Yeah, I believe that no one wants to hang around with the crying babies. Crying is bad all the time. Grown men of God, you're supposed not to cry? Is that the protocols you receive? Men should not be sad. We Christians should not be sad not to shed our tears in front of the people and hide out and put it on the public face or wear the mask, say that I'm happy all the time. Is that the authentic being we would like to present in the church? Crying is unnecessary. Like in this morning, showering the earth by God. It is necessary. Even the sunny, I prefer the sunny day every day. It is necessary. It is a part of life. When babies are crying, there is something we need to pay attention to. Think about it. You gave the birth to a child, and this child, this baby, is not crying at the birth. Something is wrong, right? Doctor and the nurses, they do get an alert sign that they need to do something about this not crying baby at the birth, right? They bang the bottom, right? Make sure that this baby will be crying. And when babies are not crying, when they're hurt, something is wrong. Crying is necessary. It is a natural human being behavior, right? We needed to cry. Let us never pretend that being in Christian, being in church, does not eliminate it as crying part of the life. Crying is necessary. When you are in pain, you need to cry. Here, mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. The person, what kind of a mourning are we talking about? What kind of a mourning are we talking about? I'm going to be reading the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It talks about two types of sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It goes like this. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. It distinguishes godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Think about that. This robbery guy, thief, being caught by the cop. Do you think that this thief will be happy to be caught? His heart will be aching. Man, I've been caught, and I needed to be probably found myself behind the bar. Because he got caught, he is great sorrow. Is it the godly sorrow are we talking about? Is he blessed because that he's mourning for the situation? No, it is not the one we are talking about. And like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, there is a godly sorrow, and then there is a worldly sorrow. Those people who are mourn is about godly sorrow. In godly sorrow, there are three types of the sorrow or the mourning. First, when we realize that how sinful we are mourning. When we say that we are being saved by God, we are being forgiven by God, it does not mean that you are pure from the beginning. God's unending, unconditional love keeps saying that you are forgiven because of God's love. It doesn't mean that you are sinless. You are not mistakelessness. You are not living in that situation. Even though God said that you are forgiven, I am forgiven, we are forgiven, we still know that how sinful you and I are. Acknowledge the moments who we are, how sinful we are, what kind of mistakes we are making every day. We are pounding our chest, Lord, forgive me. Yes, I do. I asked for the forgiveness yesterday, but somehow I do make it another mistake today, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Repentance, that is the godly sorrow. If you said, yes, I do make a mistake, so what? That is not a godly sorrow that God we are seeking in here. When we get down on our knees telling God that, I'm sorry, I do make a mistake again. I will try my best. Think about your children in your home. Are they perfect? Inside out? They say that they are not going to do this, and do they follow through exactly what they said? To be honest, I never heard any children, not just younger children, all grown-ups too, all children of God to follow through everything, even myself. I do get lazy sometimes, even though I said that I would do it, and I don't feel like to do it. And then sometimes I just try to brush it off, not to handle that. That kind of sinfulness that I do have too. I try my best to be perfect, and I try my best to follow through whatever I said, but sometimes I don't feel like it. Why did I say those things? I don't know, but I said I try my best to be responsible for what I said, but I do not do follow through sometimes. Sometimes I say, I'm sorry, I cannot do it, even though I promise. And then to God, it's the same way. I would like to love everyone in the world, but Lord, some people are not lovable. What can I do, Lord? What can I do? I wrestling with God. I feel like I needed to reveal the God's love so people can feel the love of God through me and through my life. But I'm so human. What can I say? So I repent, and then I asking God to help me to be more godly every single step I'm taking. That is the first warning. How about you? Do you see the sinful nature within yourself? If you do, you need to cry. Why God love us? Why? Why God sacrificed His only begotten for you and me? The simple people like you and me, why? I don't know why God loves you and me this much. Whenever I'm talking about God's love, I am so overwhelmed because I know that how sinful person I am. Can you believe that God chose you and me out of everyone to be the disciples of Jesus Christ and have letting us have this beautiful sanctuary, beautiful church, and beautiful community? Do you deserve this kind of a blessing in your life? Whenever I look at this, I am not deserve this much of a blessing. So I'm get down on my knee again. Lord, thank you for the blessing, but I do not deserve. I'm enjoying it. But I said, Lord, forgive my sinful nature. I will do my best. That is the first sorrow we are talking about. Mourning. Mourning means crying out for God. Because of our sinful nature. That's what every day we needed to repent. Every day that we needed to filter it out. Every day we needed to pray to God and to cleanse our soul and by our body, mind, and soul. At the light of the Christian, Christ gave it to us. Second sorrow is the mourning for our brothers and sisters. I'm going for the upward and inward direction again. First sorrow is about a God and me relationship. And then second sorrow is our neighbors. Look around. Even you. Do you think that your life is so perfect and better than other people? Do you think that other people are better than you? While I was visiting people, getting to know people, dive into the life of the people gradually in this congregation, my heart sunk. My heart sunk. Everybody carries the burden in their life. How am I going to be silent about this? You know what? We needed to pray for each other, edifying each other. Everybody's carrying the burden in their life. Some families are struggling with their children's issue. Some people are dealing with the health issue. Some people are dealing with the relationship issue. Some people are dealing with the husband-wife issues, the marriage life. Some people are dealing with the finance issues. Are you free from this, all the issues that I named so far? You know what? If we truly know what's going on in the person's life right next to you, you cannot be silent. You need to let God know about the person. We need to have a sorrow heart. We need to hold our hands together. Yes, getting into the person's life, getting into the community of faith around you, you will find so many things you needed to pound in your chest for it. And then let God do their part. Yes, you and I have a limitation to do a lot of things. But God, our God is mighty God. God loves you. God loves everyone. We are blessed by this love. That's why we are trying our best to build our character, to be like Jesus, more godly. Being sorrow is one of the character we needed to have. If we do not know how much Jesus cries for us, how God cried out for our love, we cannot say that we are true Christian. You and I needed to know how to cry. Grown men of God, you also have tears God given to you. You have a compassionate heart. Pull it out to this community, the community of faith around us. You, godly man, to be the man of God who can stand up for Christ in our community to protect the God's church, protect the community. You, woman of God, you and I needed to stand up for Christ to be mothering this community. If they don't listen, we need to spank and make sure that they do align their life with the rule of God, which is the love of Christ. We needed to cry out for that. Third one is we are talking about in here, mourning, is that about the whole world. Look around the world. Ongoing. Look around the world. The voting season, election season is coming. Yes, IRS, the tax time is coming. Probably someone is kind of cranky about this filing tax. And especially if you live in Cook County, 9.5, the sales tax is so killing me. Am I personalizing it here? Yeah. I never heard of the 9.5 tax. And the gas price is going right between the county line. The gas price is so different. And what's going on, Cook County? So you hear my whining sounds here. Am I crying out for help? Yes. You know what? We need to stand up. We need to make a voice. Every single step, whatever the governors, our leaders are doing. Instead of complain about that our president or the administration of our country, we need to pray about it. If we start to pray about certain things, we will minimize a complaint. We will minimize a complaint. Whatever happens is happening. You do your best in the given situation and pray for each other. And agree, think about it. Unless you do pray, nothing will happen. Push. Pray until something happens, right? Until something happens, pray about it. praying is not the last things we can do about the situation. Praying is the first things you and I need to do. Let God to be the first one to make a voice. At the same time, let God to be the last one who will make a voice for the situation. Let's bring God in our midst and then let God do the things first so we can follow the lead of God. The lead of God. You are being comforted if you and I will be mourning. I will not take it long in here. And like Elizabeth Taylor says to all her husband, I'm not going to take you long. So when some people mentioned that, said we have a longer service every week. Well, I will try my best. But I said, you know, let's be in the spirit of God. How long do you want it to worship God? I wanted to worship God every day, 24/7. That is the reason why I'm living together with you and with other people. It is a reason. Some people say that during the worship is so stressful. And some people say that a pastor never get to worship because the pastors are preaching. It is not my case. I'm in the word of worship. I'm in the spirit of worship. I am coming to church to worship God, not do the worship. It is not my job. The Holy Spirit is the one who will do the worship. And you and I prepare our best to worship God with our whole heart, with a sorrowing, with a mourning spirit. This coming week, I am encouraging you, turn on the TV for the first time. Usually I ask everyone, turn off the TV. But this week, turn on the TV and then to analyze what you are seeing on the media. You cannot be silent. You cannot say that it is a happy world without God. You will be able to get down on your knee to pray for the people in the world by looking at the news you're going to be getting and the cultural tidal wave that is imposing on our children through the media. You and I needed to cry out to God for help for our children, for your life and the life of others in our community. Blessed are those who are mourned. They shall be comforted. Comfort is on its way when we mourn.